How's everyone doing this morning? Good. Despite the rain, we're good. Okay, like after the service, we'll be entering the ark just out there. So that kind of counts as a dad's joke, right? A dad joke, right? A little bit. So I'm Tyler Williams. I'm one of the pastors here at Greenfield Community Church. Just like to welcome you all this morning. And it is Father's Day. And okay, my mother-in-law told me a Father's Day joke that I need to share with you, because she's my mother-in-law, and just kind of have to do what she says. So here it goes. I said that already. What do you call someone who tells dad jokes but is not a father? A faux pas. All right. So there we go. So now, okay, one of the big things that's going on right now is, of course, the World Cup of soccer. How many people have been watching World Cup? Okay, yeah, so I've kind of been watching some of it. I've tried to catch the Canada games, and I'm aware of what's going on. But I am a sports guy, right? You know, a little bit more football and hockey, but, you know, I'll watch soccer as well. And one of the things that, of course, that's so exciting about watching these elite athletes is just watching them do their stuff, right? That they have such skill. And I think of someone like Lionel Messi, 38 years old, turning 39 on Wednesday, and he scored like a hat trick in the game against Algeria. Now, that's three goals in a soccer, which most games are like 0-0 or 1-0. So that's pretty amazing. But then even watching Canada the other day play Qatar, and there you have Jonathan David get his own hat trick as we crushed them 6-0. So now one of the things with all of these elite sports is that, you know, these are individuals who made the team, right? They worked hard. They had the opportunities and maybe the, you know, like all the opportunities growing up to play. And so they have honed their skills and worked hard to play at that level. And it doesn't matter whether or not it's soccer, hockey, any sport, or even music, right? Like, you know, like to be able to play to such a level of an instrument or anything. And so much of this in our culture is based on merit, right? That they are on Team Canada, they are playing at the highest levels because they worked hard and they deserve to be there, right? And so much of our culture is based on merit. Our school system is based on working hard, achieving the grades. Our job market and our employment is based on merits, that that we hire the people who are best for the job, who have worked hard, who have the qualifications. And it's hard to sort of think that so much in our culture is merit-based. But this morning, we are celebrating grace. We are celebrating God's grace, His amazing grace, that He has loved us so much that He sent His Son who died for us so that we may have life, that we may have forgiveness, that we may follow Him and have the fullness of life. And it's not because of anything that we have done. We haven't earned it. And so the gospel message is so countercultural that we just have to let it sink in. And this morning we have 7 people who are getting baptized. 7. That's kind of a neat number, perfect number, right? And baptism is about grace, because baptism is a response to God's grace. So these 7 individuals have been touched by God, that they have been following Jesus, and they've decided at this point, in response to the amazing grace that God has shown them, that they decided that they want to follow in obedience and be baptized. And so this morning, the service is pretty much focused on this. Yeah, I'm not going to talk too long, I promise, kind of, maybe. But, you know, I do want to say a little bit about what baptism means for us. So baptism in our tradition, at the very least, means three things. It's an initiation, it's an identification, and it's a declaration. And so in terms of initiation, that it is an entry into the church. So it sort of marks a person's entrance into the body of Christ. And so when you read the New Testament, if you read the book of Acts especially, you see them preaching the gospel, sharing the good news of Jesus, and they respond in repentance and in faith. And then one of the first things they do, they look for water to get them dunked, right, to baptize them. So it's something which is supposed to be a little bit more at the beginning of their faith journeys. And then the point is, and after that, they're discipled for the rest of their lives as they learn what it means to follow Jesus. Now, this morning, we have people being baptized at all different stages of their faith journey. And there's reasons and why it's now and not earlier. But the thing is, they have taken this step of obedience. And they are doing this as part of their response to God's grace. So it's about initiation. It's also about identification. It's about Jesus. It's about God. And it's an identification with the triune God. That when we baptize according to Jesus' command to baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And it's also an identification with Jesus in his death and his resurrection. And so that's something that I think is central to even the symbolism that we see when we baptize someone here. But the key thing to note is that baptism, water baptism, is an outward symbol of the inward work that God has already done in their lives. So these seven individuals have accepted Jesus. They're following Jesus. They love Jesus. They've been forgiven. They're living new life in Christ. And now, as a response to that grace, they're submitting themselves to baptism, to water baptism. And they're declaring that to everyone. In Romans chapter 6, Paul says, "Don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead, through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life." And so the symbolism of baptism here is that when they go under the water, that is their identification with the death of Jesus, that Jesus died for them. And then when they're brought out of the water, it's a sign of the new life they have in Christ. And I promise not to hold them down too long. Though Jesus was, 3 days, but no. So it is identification. And then the last thing, it's a declaration. That it's a declaration of their faith to everyone, to family, to friends, to their church community, that they are followers of Christ. And it doesn't signify that they have it all figured out. Right? They're not everyone's a theologian, but they're not experts. Right? This is something, but they have enough figured out that they know they want to live for Jesus. And so they're not perfect. They haven't got everything figured out, but they want to declare this morning that God has done a remarkable work in their life, that God has forgiven them, that God is in the process of transforming them through the power of the Holy Spirit, and they want to follow Christ for the rest of their lives through the power of the Holy Spirit. And so, now I can say more about baptism, but I won't because I want to get right to it. Okay, but this is what baptism is. And so if you're here this morning, well, you are here this morning, if you're here online as well, that if you've followed Christ, if you've been baptized yourself, I invite you this morning to not only celebrate these individuals and what Christ has done for them, but also to remember your own baptism, to think back of when you took that step, and to renew your vows. You kind of pray that, okay, God, you know, I've got lethargic, I got off track, and just use this as a time of a recommitment to follow Christ closer. Now, if you're a follower of Christ, but maybe you haven't got baptized yet for whatever reason, I invite you to consider this step of obedience. And we can figure it out when and where. But I encourage you to seriously consider this step, this point, this marker in your faith journey of baptism. And maybe you're here because someone's getting baptized, haven't been to a church for a while, this is all different and weird. That's fine. I was there once. I encourage you and I invite you to investigate further what it means to follow Christ. You know, if you're here watching someone be baptized, witnessing that, ask them. It's fresh in their mind. Ask the people you came with. Or you can ask one of the pastoral staff. But this is something which is part of what it means to be a church. The church is baptized, and it's what it means to be a follower of Christ, to be baptized in response to the great grace of God. So with that, we're going to sing a song, and then we're going to start the baptisms.